for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, December the 26th, 1997. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the teacher of the afternoon. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
I guess about 3 or 4 years ago, this manual was put together by Brother Moody, and most of it is taken from services here at the camp meeting. There are some in here of Win Worley's and some in here of Derek Prince, but the majority of it is from services here at the camp meeting. And it covers almost every phase of deliverance. It's about 600 pages, 500 pages. And if you are interested in learning about deliverance, you sit down and read this, and when you get through, you'll have a pretty good understanding of deliverance and what is involved in it. Then Irma and I have written some small booklets along that vein. There's one that we've written, Some Things We've Learned About Deliverance. Now, why we say some things is because we haven't learned all of it yet, and I don't know if we ever will, because we're always learning something new. It's not, we think that we have learned everything, and then there's something else that comes up that we didn't know about, that somebody else comes in and teaches, or we're studying and we see it. So it's just some things that we have learned and are still learning about deliverance. A little book, and it's got a desk on the front of it with a blackboard and a book, little book called the Deliverance Manual, and a blackboard on the desk, where it means we need to be taught, that we're still being taught. And then I wrote a few articles, and probably will write some more sometime, that I call Thoughts from My Notebook That I Ponder. And after I'd written several of them, why, Kevin said to me one day, he said, you know, we ought to print those. I said, oh, you think so? And he said, yeah, I think so. I said, well, put them together. And so he and Patty pulled them out and put them together and put them in this little booklet. That's called It's Thoughts from My Notebook That I Ponder. And it's various things, basically, of tradition that as we begin to study and understand, we found that they were traditions and not biblical truths, a lot of it. And some of it are things also about deliverance. Then there's another book that Irma wrote this. It was about some experiences that she had, really about idolatry. And it's called, Is There a Buddha in Your House? We had an unusual experience that brought this book to being concerning somebody, a family who had a Buddha in their house. And their child couldn't sleep at night, and wake up screaming and crying. And the Lord showed Irma that the reason for that problem was because they had a Buddha in their house. And until they were willing to get rid of that Buddha and destroy it, that before that child was set free from the night terrors that it suffered at night. It would wake up and say, see, see. Of course, the parents couldn't see anything, but the child could. And it could see this demon spirit that came out of this Buddha that they had bought in Saigon and paid a large sum of money for it, and they thought it was beautiful. But all they were doing was housing a Buddha, a demon, in their house in this Buddha. So these things are things that we've learned. Years ago, I wouldn't have thought anything about it, but I've come to learn that these things hold powers over us, and we need to understand and come to the place where we're willing to be willing. That's the biggest problem of most of us, willing to be willing. Now, this afternoon, in men's teaching over here, Brother Jim, was speaking about why do you want deliverance? And that you ask different people, you may get different answers from that. Why do you want deliverance, or why do you think you need deliverance? Well, the main reason you need deliverance is so you can serve Jesus better. And that should be really, after we come to understand a little bit, we see that that's the main purpose we need deliverance, is so that we can serve the Lord Jesus better. Now, we got problems that we want to get rid of and all this, and that's good, and we need to get rid of them. But when we come to a place where we understand what some of these problems are, and then when we get rid of them so we can serve Jesus better, then some of the problems we have that's caused by these things will just go away. They'll go away. It's just like some of the areas of healing. You get deliverance in certain areas, and some of the problems that you have physically will disappear. And we may or may not, we'll see what happens, whether we talk about that or not this afternoon. But the reason that we should seek for deliverance, really from our hearts, when we really understand, is so that we can serve Jesus better. So that we can be a better testimony, a better witness, and then a better deliverer to others. That because the Lord has called each one of us, we're called to be a deliverer. Amen. That's, we're called to that. Whether you realize that or not, we are all called to the same ministry. It's not somebody's called to. No, we're all called to the ministry of helps and deliverance and serving the Lord. And when we come to that understanding, why it makes gives us a better revelation of Jesus and of His Word. Most of all, we need to study to understand and to show ourselves approved by studying the Word, so that when we're confronted with a problem or a situation or an answer, the answer is just as what Jesus said, it is written. That's basically the answer to most of the questions. When you get to the bottom of it, is the fact that it is written. And we come down to understand what is written. But a lot of us, by our traditions, we have been told that a lot of things do not apply to you and me today, and thereby our traditions have kept us from an understanding of the Word. It has kept us from being able to apply the Word and appropriate it to the situation of our life and our needs because of the traditions that we've been raised under. Now, we've all been raised under some form of tradition, and some of us under one and some of us under another. And, of course, the Pentecostal background that I came up from taught me that everything was under the blood and no Christian could have a demon. Now, I don't know or remember that anybody actually got up on the platform or on the pulpit and made that statement, but it was always implied. If I didn't actually hear, it was implied that the demons can't bother you, but I always did hear about everything being under the blood. And that is true to the extent of our soul salvation. That is true when we're saved, but that's not true in the body and in the mind. We have areas in our life that we have problems with because of our background, of our own sins, or the ancestral sins of our fathers. That's another area that I was taught by tradition that was impossible because Jesus became my curse. Therefore, I couldn't have any of these things. They're all done away with at Calvary. Well, that's a nice theory, but it's not practical. And so, for a little while this afternoon, we'll look at some of these areas and to see what Jesus requires of you and me and why we should seek to do it. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy to start with in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy. And we'll begin here with the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy and with the 12th verse. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear or reverence the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." To do what? To keep his commandments, to keep the commandments of the Lord, and his statutes, which I command you this day. For what?
They are good.
For what? What did he say? For my good. And that has never changed. It's, we need to study the Word and know it for my good, for your good. Now, we're living in a time and a day that this world has never seen before. We're living in a time of affluence in parts of the world and in poverty in parts of the world. But we're living in a time and a day when everything could change overnight. And most of the world, most even the Christian world, does not believe that. But it is. But I believe that it can happen and probably will happen very shortly in all of our lifetime. And we need to be prepared for that day. We may be required to give our life for the gospel's sake. And we shouldn't feel that it's anything peculiar, because there have been millions that's gone before us that have already done that. From the 1200s to the 1600s, there were thousands and thousands that were beheaded, that were burned at the stake, that were hung or put on crosses, just because they would not refute their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And who's to say that we're any better than they were? So the day may come when we may be confronted with that. And do you have enough of Jesus in you that you could walk up to the stake and stand there and sing a song while they lit the fire and you burned? When everybody around you telling you to deny Jesus? I wonder, are we able to do that? Or if they chopped off your head? I wonder, are we able? We need to think about these things. We need to understand that the possibility lies ahead of us, that this could take place in our day again. It is taking place in parts of the world. It's taking place in other parts of, well, just over here in Kentucky. What was it, three or four young people were shot just because they were praying. Just what, 3 weeks ago or something like that. So it's all around us. It's not... Brother Wimbrandt, in his publication, The Voice of the Martyrs, said that they believe that there's approximately 500 to 600 people that die someplace in the world every day for the gospel's sake, that are put to death or starved to death or die because of the gospel's sake. Now, we don't think about that, but we need to consider these things and make up my mind that I will serve the Lord. We individually, I have to, you have to. You have to make up your mind that I will serve the Lord. And I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. But we can determine together to make up our mind that we'll study, to show ourselves approved unto God, that we are workmen, that we need not to be ashamed of the gospel, standing and declaring and rightly dividing it to the best of our ability. Now, in days past, I have not rightly divided all of it. I probably am not rightly dividing all of it yet. But I desire to study, to show myself that I will know how to rightly divide the Scripture, so that I don't walk in error or I don't walk in presumption, but I walk because thus saith the word of the Lord. So, here in Deuteronomy chapter 10, it says, "And now, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of you and me? But that we reverence or fear or honor the Lord thy God, the Lord our God, my God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord our God with all of our hearts and with all of our souls, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Now, over in Jeremiah 51, there in Jeremiah, the Lord says there that he has called us for a purpose in Jeremiah 51. And we should know by heart what this is. Who knows what verse it is without looking? 20, verse 20. Jeremiah 51 and 20. And the Lord has called us here. And he says, "Thou art my battle axe and weapon of war." There is no other The Lord has nothing else but you and me. Oh, the angels are about, but salvation and deliverance and restoration and is not committed to the angels. It's committed to you and me. The responsibility that's committed to us is beyond our ability, really, to fathom and understand and comprehend that responsibility. It is beyond my ability to comprehend the responsibility that I have to be to serve the Lord. And that applies for each one of us. It's not just a halfway so-so thing that we're to serve the Lord. We're to serve Him with all of our heart. And we are to desire to walk after Him in righteousness. And we are called to be the Lord's battle axe and weapon of war. For He says, for with you and me, He will break in pieces the nations, and with you and me, He will destroy kingdoms. Now, basically, those nations and kingdoms are the kingdoms of Satan. And we are called to destroy Satan's kingdom. We are called to bind him up, to put his demons underfoot, and to bind them, in my opinion, to the day of judgment so they can't come back and harass somebody again. Of course, we don't know how many there are, but there's enough that some more will come to take their place, at least for a while. But eventually, if we stay at it, I believe that eventually it'll come to the place where we will be in authority, and they, of course, there's more of us with the angels than there are of them anyway. But unless we bind them up to the day of judgment, And don't do that, they'll come back and harass somebody else. So I believe it's our responsibility to bind them and take authority over them and bind them to the day of judgment. Ask the angel of the Lord to come and take them and keep them until Jesus judges them. Or until we judge them. Because it is written that we will judge angels. So we probably will also judge them. But it's our responsibility to bring the kingdom of Satan underfoot. And to bind his power and to break his assignment. And I'm not satisfied with seeing how much of it that gets done. I would like to see a whole lot more of it getting done than what's getting done. I don't feel that I'm accomplishing near enough. I feel always that I'm not getting enough done, that there's somehow I should get more done. Well, we all should feel that way. And then we'll keep working and laboring together. But the Lord's called us to that purpose. He's called us to put Satan underfoot and to bind him up. But we've been ignorant of so many things because of our tradition. We've been ignorant and we have thought that these things didn't apply to us because of what we were taught and what we have learned. But one of the things that I had to learn, because I believed, from my Pentecostal background teaching, I'm 76, 77 years old, and when I was a year old, my folks got saved in the Holy Ghost, and from then on, and of course that was back in the days of the missions and the tent revivals, and I've laid on the floor in the sawdust ever since I was a year old. So I've come up and had a lot of tradition of the Pentecostal side. Now, some of the rest of you have got the Methodist side and the Baptist side and the Episcopalian side and the Catholic side. There's traditions in all of it. And from wherever you come from, there's traditions there that are not biblical, that you need to search out and define. And when you realize what they are, you need to renounce them and refute them. Well, I was a hard one because I did not believe that any Christian could have a demon because a demon can't cross the bloodline. And I was taught that everything was under the blood, so the Christian couldn't have a demon. And so the Lord had to give me an actual experience of a Christian who had a demon, that I knew he was a Christian, and I knew that he had the Holy Ghost. And then when this demon started talking out of him, then that's the Lord changed my theology. But that's what the Lord had to do for me. And I never thought about it at the time that was going to happen. But here we were, and we were praying. And this, all of a sudden, this voice started coming out of this man that I knew well. And I knew that he was saved, and I knew he had the Holy Ghost. So now what am I going to do about that? I can't stand there and say he's not saved because I know better than that. Here's this devil talking out of him. Well, that changed my theology. And scared Irma. She walked up behind us just when this demon started talking out of this man. Frightened her. She ran upstairs in the Hilton Hotel in Chicago to about the 15th, 16th floor, jumped in bed and covered up her head, took two tranquilizers. She was still on tranquilizers in those days. Took two tranquilizers and jumped in bed and covered up her head. And the devil talked to her. He said, now, is this another tradition? He said, now you've gotten in wildfire, you better jump out the window. Pentecostal tradition, be careful of wildfire. That's, we heard that all of our life as that to be care, and she, but she took care of suicide on the spot. She said, no, I'm too smart for that. And that took care of the spirit of suicide. But there it was. It tried. And so, well, anyway, then another thing that I didn't believe was that Christians could be cursed. I didn't believe they could be cursed. But we found out some things that were, and I'll tell you in a minute about how the Lord showed me about curses, but about Christians having can have curses in their lives. But we had an example here of somebody putting a curse on Irma. And you say, well, that can't happen because she's a Christian. Well, it did happen. And she came down with what she thought was the flu and had trouble with her chest and coughing and thought that she was having pneumonia. And it went on for about 6 weeks. And one day, a friend of ours called and wanted to know how Irma was feeling. And she said, well, she was just having this awful time with this, like flu or pneumonia or something. And then this party told Irma that about something that she knew. And she said that she was at somebody's house who professed to be a Christian. And there was a doll on the couch in the house. And this party picked this doll up and stuck a pin in it and said, now that Irma Miller will have a hard time getting over this. And this person was supposed to be a Christian. And this other party was in the house when she did this in front of her. And so she told Irma about it. And immediately at that time, dear friend of ours, Joe Williams, was still alive, who taught us many things and who also was a seer in the spirit and could pray, and the Lord would show him what was wrong with you or what was about something else, and the Lord would show him. And so immediately Irma wanted to get a hold of Brother Joe. And so we got him on the phone out in Phoenix, where he was living at that time. And before she could say anything, I think he said, what can I do for you, my dear? Or something like that, didn't he, honey? And she said, oh, my chest. And he said, oh, yes, I see. He said, you've got a curse. He said, somebody's cursed you. And then she told him about what we knew. And he took authority over it and broke the curse. I think that's the way it was. Something like that, anyway. These things happen. It's don't always remember them exactly like they took place. But then he prayed, Brother Joe prayed for Irma and broke the curse, and she was immediately well. Immediately. So there's an example of a tradition broken because Irma had a curse. Now, I never believed, you know, the Scripture tells us that there's in Deuteronomy and in the book of Joel and other places, it tells us that we're cursed. Well, I was always taught that we couldn't be cursed because everything was under the blood, and that Jesus became our curse at Calvary. And so when he became our curse, when we got saved, well, if there were any curses, they were all gone. And that's what I believed. And but one thing the Lord showed me about that brought us around, this is a roundabout way to get to where we're going, but this is how the Lord did it. We had Bible studies here on Thursday night, and we do have again now. And my mother, always for years, and she just died 3 weeks ago. She was 96, and she just kind of laid down and went to sleep. That's the way to go. You don't need to feel bad about that when you're 96 years old. and you die, and you go without any pain and suffering. And anyway, she always had a statement, and all other Pentecostals and Baptists do too, is, "I plead the blood." Well, that is not scriptural. There is no scriptural basis for that statement. And sometimes if you're dealing with a demon, which we found out, and you make that statement, they'll laugh at you because you have no authority or power with that statement over demons if I plead the blood, because it's not scriptural. They only have to obey, it is written. And if you use the scripture wrong and you're dealing with a demon and you use it wrong, sometimes they'll call you on it. They'll tell you about it. And that's what happened with this. And we found out that there was no scripture. So I did a study then when I found this out about that. And I talked to my mother, but she was died in the wool. And the Lord honored her. The Lord honored her in that. But she never did deal with casting out of demons. So she never was confronted with that statement with a demon. But anyway, when I came to this understanding about this, where I did a study about the blood of Jesus. And this particular Thursday night, and most of you have heard me tell this before, but there will be a lot of people that will hear this via the tape and other who have never heard this, so I'll tell it again and the rest of you bear with me. But on this Thursday night, where we were studying about the blood of Jesus and about the fact that I plead the blood is not scriptural, and you can't find any place in the Bible a scripture to back that statement up. And so then we were studying about what is the scriptural basis of the blood of Jesus. And there are five scriptural bases of the blood of Jesus. I don't have it marked down here, but we're going over there since Leviticus chapter 3. Since we are talking here, let's back it up with some scripture that we were studying that particular night. And for your benefit and for others, in Leviticus chapter 3, I had picked out for one of my verses to use that night the 13th verse of the 3rd chapter of Leviticus. And that verse says, "And he shall lay the priest shall lay his hand upon the head of it, the lamb or the bullock or the goat, whatever it is, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereon around upon the altar round about." So here's an application of the blood. We can sprinkle the blood. We can sprinkle. And across the page in my Bible, verse 6 of chapter 7, it repeats that again, that the blood we can sprinkle. And there the blood was to be sprinkled 7 times before the Lord in this verse 6. But in our study that night, I finished reading the chapter. Now, before we get back to that, we'll give you the rest of the applications of the blood of Jesus that you will find in the scriptures. So here you can sprinkle the blood. Then you can apply the blood of Jesus. You can sprinkle it. You can apply it. You can appropriate the blood of Jesus. You can cover with the blood of Jesus. And there's one more. What's the fifth one? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So that's what our study was that night. We were going through the Bible, getting all the scriptures that apply, because there are many of them that apply to these applications of the blood of Jesus. And then, but I finished reading this 3rd chapter without any reason. Had no purpose in finished reading it, but I finished reading this 3rd chapter. And it goes on down, and I read it, and he shall offer his offering, and of the inwards, and the kidneys, and the flanks, and all that. And the priest shall burn upon the altar, and it's a sweet savor unto the Lord. And then it says, "And it shall be a perpetual statute," verse 17, "for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood." But I had no reason to finish that. I didn't even realize that I had read that verse or the rest of the chapter, because we went on with our study. That night, one of the ladies that was here in that Bible study that night, the Lord woke her up and impressed upon her to get up and record and find all the scriptures that she could relating to the eating of blood. And she thought, "Well, Lord, what that got to do with me? Why am I getting up in the middle of the night to do this? And 2 days before, she had gone to the doctor for a checkup, the first time in about 5 or 6 years, and the doctor had called her that day and said, you passed your exam fine, except you have one small problem. You are a borderline diabetic. Now, that may not mean much to most people, but it did to her, because her grandmother had died with sugar diabetes. Her great-grandmother had, her grandmother had, and her mother had all died with sugar diabetes. She has two sisters who are very serious sugar diabetics, and one of them has even lost her foot to sugar. And here she's told this. And so she's looking all these verses up, but she hadn't put it all together yet. And she said, well, Lord, what's that got to do with me? And then he reminded her about eating of blood. Well, it says here, that it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. And her ancestors, her great-grandmother and her grandmother, not her mother, had all made blood sausage and blood pudding, blood soup, but she had never remembered her mother ever making any. But the Lord gave her the understanding that her problem was an ancestral curse of disobedience to the Word of God. Now, she came back Saturday night. We had prayer meeting here then on Saturday night. We do now also. And she came back Sunday morning to morning service, and there was about maybe 20 of us here. And we had praise and worship, and I got up to teach on something. And I said, anybody here have a prayer request or need prayer for anything? And she raised her hand and said, I'd like to say something. And I said to her, I said, well, say on. And she related now what I have just told you. And then she said, the Lord impressed upon me that if you would pray for me and break the curse off of me, that the Lord would heal me. Now, she has said something that I don't believe in, or my tradition has told me that is not so. But here she says that the Lord impressed upon her to have me pray for her and break the curse of her ancestral heritage from eating of blood. And I said, well, if that's what you feel the Lord said, I said, come here and I'll do it. I said, anybody else? And there were 9 people in that little small congregation that Sunday morning who I prayed for to break the curse of eating of blood. And I didn't know what I was doing. So now then, you see, I've got to search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. So I go back and start with my 17th verse of chapter 3. And then I begin to look up all this about eating of blood and in every area. And I find it from here, clear back through Paul's writings, all about it. And I found 26 verses. Now, there may be more than that. I'm not saying I have found them all. But I found 26 verses that relate to not eating of blood. And quite a few that relate to not eating of fat. Now, we're all aware that in the last 10, 15 years, with all the heart trouble that we've got in America today from all the eating of so much meat, that we have lots of heart trouble. And we have lots of clogged up arteries, and we have a lot of plaque. And the doctors have told us what? It's from fat. It's from eating of fat. And the Lord told us that back here through Moses. What, 1,500? No. 2,500 years ago. The Lord knew what was right for us, but we're too know-it-all and too ignorant to apply God's word and to believe His word. Well, and that brings another thought to me. I'm going to go over here real quick to Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to read to you. But chapter 28, this just came to me, and I'm going to read it. Verse 58. If thou wilt observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest reverence or honor or fear this glorious and wonderful name, the Lord thy God, Jehovah, then the Lord will make thy plagues many and great. This says wonderful in the King James, but in the original it says he'll make them many and great. and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues of long continuance and sore sickness. And again he repeats it, long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is written in this book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee till thou be destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were the stars of heaven in multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the word of the Lord. I want to read another verse here. Where is it? And he'll not put any of these diseases upon us if we obey his word. It should be right here. It's in chapter 28, back over here. Well, of what chapter? Yeah, but there's a verse that says, I will not put any of these diseases upon you. Well, anyway, now he's going to bring all of them on you, but there's a place that says that he'll not put any of these diseases upon us. Anyway, somebody finds that exact verse. It's there. I haven't got time to search for it right now. The other just came to me, and I turned there. So now then I've got a major problem on my hand because I've done something that my tradition tells me, you know, that I don't believe in, or that's all taken care of. So I go through and search the scriptures and to see where the answer is. And I found it, of all places, in John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God gave his Son, but what we have to do, we have to believe. And then he showed me Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became our curse. So in John 3:16, it says that whosoever believeth. And then we have to do the same with the curse, that Jesus became our curse. It is not an automatic thing. We have to appropriate and apply the fact that Jesus is my curse, just as I have to apply the fact that he is my salvation through his blood shed at Calvary. He is my salvation. So is he my curse as I appropriate and apply it to the areas where I need to appropriate it. And that's solved my tradition that I was taught that everything was under the blood. In those areas. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not other areas in related to some of these things that, again, I may not understand yet. But that's how the Lord brought us to that understanding. So, we're back now to the fact that curses are a reality. Curses can be placed upon you by witchcraft and sorcery. And we need to be sensitive to these areas so when it happens, we can stand against it and take authority over it and break the powers of it. We do have authority over it to break the power of it. But we need to be able to discern the problem. In Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Malachi, there are lots of curses listed in that area. And in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, there are some. Ezekiel, let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 22. And here in Ezekiel 22, the Lord is calling us to come to an understanding of the Scripture for a purpose, to be delivered for a purpose. He wants us, he's called us to be his battle axe. And in Ezekiel 22, we'll find here that he's calling us for another purpose. Verse 30 of the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel. The Lord says here, he said that I sought for a man or a champion. That word man in original is a champion, just as David was the champion over Goliath. Goliath claimed to be the champion, but David turned out to really be the champion. And David didn't go... trying to show that he was somebody or something. He just walked out there, and Goliath said, who's this little stripling coming out here defying the armies of the Philistines? And David said, I don't come to you by my own strength, but I come in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And that took care of it. The angel of the Lord saw to it that that stone went right where David intended for it to go. But David practiced too. He didn't. He just didn't get that way by not practicing. David practiced that with that sling. He had a confidence in that sling and that stone because he had practice and he had confidence. And we need to have confidence. We need to study the Word. We need to know it. We need to have confidence in the Word. So here it says that the Lord says, he said, and I sought for a man or a champion among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the Lord, that I would not destroy it. But he says, I found none. I trust today that the Lord's not going to say that, that he's going to find some of us who are willing to say, I'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge, so that the Lord will say that he has somebody that he can depend upon. And I trust that each one of us will desire that in our hearts, that we desire to be able to stand and declare it is written, and to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. What is that? That's the intercessors. That's the intercessors. That's God's calling to be intercessors for him. I think I'll turn back for a minute to Deuteronomy chapter 27. What the Lord says, I'm just going to read the curses. The blessings are wonderful. I want all the blessings. But in order to have the blessings, we've got to be free of the curses. Without being free of the curses, we cannot have all the blessings. And so we need to understand what these curses are. And if we're bothered with some of them, we need to seek the Lord and help and be set free from them. So we start with verse 15 here of Deuteronomy 27. And he says, cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman. And he does what? He puts it in a secret place or he hides it and worships it. Well, America's got lots of gods. I know we've got heathen gods here. We've got Shintoism and Buddhism and Mohammed and all of that. But besides that, there's lots of other gods in America, too. Basically, the god of pleasure. And we're all touched in one way or another with that god of pleasure. Nothing wrong with lots of it. Lots of it is fine. But we've got to be careful that we don't let it become overpowering so that it takes away from our service to the Lord. Nothing wrong with going hunting. But there are a lot of men in America today that's their god. Hunting is their god. Elk hunting, deer hunting, duck hunting, fishing, that's their god. That's where you'll find them. Instead of in church, you'll find them out doing those things. That's their god. Then we've got the gods of football and basketball. There's nothing wrong with the game. It's fine. But when it becomes a god to people, and to many people, it's their god. And I've got a brother who football and sports is really almost his god. He's got two TVs, so he can watch two different games and going on at the same time. And we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful that we rightly divide these things so that they don't become a god between us and the Lord Jesus. So then it says, cursed be he who, now King James says, who setteth light by his father or mother. But in the original it says, cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. And we've got to watch that. The Bible says, regardless of what your father or your mother has done, or my father or mother has done, I am to honor them. They still are my father and mother, regardless of what has happened in my life or in your life, that we are required to honor them. Then it said, cursed be he that remove his neighbor landmark. Now that, in that day, basically was referring to a landmark or a surveyor's post that we would have today. But also, we can cause remove our neighbor's landmark by not rightly dividing the word of truth with them. We can lead them astray by not rightly dividing the word with them if we have the right opportunity. And the next verse applies the same. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And here it's basically talking about somebody who's blind and you cause them to fall in a ditch or something. But we can also cause the blind to fall in a ditch if we have an opportunity to share with them the gospel in a right manner and in a right way to lead them to salvation, and we don't do it. We are causing them, the blind, to wander. And so that applies it to that way too, I believe. Then it says, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow. So we are to honor our the widow and the fatherless as well, and the stranger. And then it says, cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. Incest. Cursed be he that lieth with any man or beast. Bestiality. And all of this is rampant in this nation today. Not in some heathen nation, but in this nation. And this nation is becoming more heathen than some of the other nations of the earth, because they are partaking of these things. And it says, cursed is he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father. Now, this, where it says lies with them, actually means having sexual relations. That's what it means if you look it up. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Now, that little verse appears three times. It appears in verse 18 of Leviticus, chapter 18. It appears in chapter 20 of Leviticus, and it appears again in chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. And the Lord's put that in here, these three times, because it applies to any way that you can take a family apart and put it back together. Mother and father have died, leaving a living mother and father. The living mother and father have children. This living mother and father now meet, and they're married, and they have more children. So now you actually have three families here. And this little verse, if you look at it, takes into consideration those three families. And it considers the stepsister and the stepbrother, or stepbrother and stepsister, relations to be incest if they have relations, even though they're not related in a way. But it's considered incest. Then it says again, incest. Verse 23, cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And then it says, 24, cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. And then cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. 24 and 25 kind of go together. But that's murder. And today we have abortion. And we are cursed. Those that take a part in abortion, this verse 25, they're cursed. They're cursed. And the ramifications of that is multiplying, because there's the company that supplies the instruments that they use. There's the company that supplies the medications that they use. There's the company that supplies the materials that they use. There's the party who owns the building that they rent, or if they own it, or if they rent it. There's all those who come in and work in there. Every person in the line of that situation is under a curse of God. The man who comes in and sells them the merchandise that they buy from the pharmaceutical company, he is cursed for coming in there and selling them that material. That curse is spread out like an octopus. The curse of abortion. Yes, brother? Yeah. Well, we can't. You have a point there, but it's out of our hands. So the Lord has to take care of that over there, even though some of our money goes there. But we don't approve of it. We don't approve of it. Definitely not. But we can't change it at this time. I trust, you know, there's another tradition. If tradition hadn't have told us when I was a kid that I've heard the pastor stand in the pulpit of the church and tell us, that I tell my parents and tell us that we did not need to send my father's did not need to send his children to college because Jesus was coming tomorrow and we're going to waste God's money, and we didn't need to paint the barn because we were wasting the money painting the barn because Jesus was coming tomorrow and we could fix the fence with baling wire because Jesus was. I've heard that from the pulpit. And that is why we're in the condition we're in today, because we have been, and we were told we didn't need to vote. And that's why this America is in the condition it's in today, because from the pulpit we were told to stop to do these things, and therefore we don't have people in Congress and Senate to stand up for what's good because tradition kept us from doing it. So there's the answer to your question. It goes back, and someplace, somewhere, that's going to have to be accounted for those who taught that. And to some degree, it's still kind of taught in some areas. But bless God, I got a vote, and my vote's going to be voted.
Amen.
So, anyway, then we got verse 26. We got another problem here. It says, cursed be he that does not conform or approve of all of these things. So we are required to not only abide by them, but to approve of them. If we don't, we're cursed. And then over here in chapter 28, verse 16, 17, and 18, and 19, and 20, again it says, cursed shall be you in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field, and cursed in the basket or in your food, and cursed be the fruit of your body. There's where we have a lot of problems with childbirth and with the problems in children, is because they're cursed from birth. And cursed shall thou be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord shall send cursing and vexation and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, wherein you have forsaken me. So we need to seriously study to see if we have forsaken the Lord in any area of our life. And if we have, we need to humbly repent and call on the Lord and turn from our ways so that we can come back underneath the blessing and out from underneath the curse. And then in Malachi, we have three more curses. And I know that there are other areas listed of curses, too, but this is the main area of them. And here in Malachi chapter 1, all right, Matthew, get out of my way. There's Malachi. And in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, cursed be the deceiver, which has any flock, a male, and voweth, and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king. Or you're not only a great king, you are the king, which the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now here, this is referring to the fact that they were bringing an offering to the Lord, and they had something that wasn't as good as something else, so they kept the good and brought the bad. Or they gave the Lord a field in their plantings and said, this we give to you, Lord. And then that came up and that had the best crop on it. So they cut that and kept it and cut this over here, which wasn't so good, and sold that and gave that to the Lord. And that's what that's referring to. But that's also referring to any vow that you make unto the Lord. You either need to keep the vow or go back to the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive you and release you of the vow. Don't leave it hanging, because you're bound by it. And then it says, and now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. And today we understand that the male of the family is the priest of every household. So this commandment is for me and for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already. Because you don't lay it to heart, or you don't believe it. You don't believe my word, so you're cursed. Lord, I want to believe your word. Then, over here in chapter 3, verse 7, verse 7, it says, even from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein will we return? Well, how do we return? We return by studying the word of the Lord, hiding it in our heart, and then applying it to our life. That's how we return unto the Lord, obeying his word. We return unto the Lord. First of all, we have to come and accept and the Lord Jesus and his blood for remission of our sins. We have to become saved. Then, after we become saved, then we can return unto the Lord by studying and applying his word and hiding it in our heart, and then being pricked of the Holy Spirit so that we don't sin against the Lord. But he says in verse 8, he says, will a man rob God? Yeah, you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me even this whole nation. And that is true. There is more money spent on chewing gum in America than is given in world missions in America. And yet America is the largest giving of missions in the world. And yet there's more money spent for chewing gum. Unbelievable, but true. We have robbed God. And I'll tell you, 75%, I would say, of so-called Christians don't pay all their tithes. And yet they wonder why they are in debt. Because they don't pay their tithes. They're robbing God. And when you rob God, you got holes in the bottom of your purse. You've got that old ragged man following you around with a curse. Yes, brother? Oh, no, the Lord honors your faith. I believe that you gave it. You were giving it to honor God. Therefore, I believe that God honors that. No, I don't see that at all. Baptists got good biblical teaching. They teach the word as far as they understand it. And the Baptists have a good word sowed in them. And they make wonderful charismatics and demon deliverers. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, reminds me of Brother Derek Prince. One of his son-in-laws had a wonderful job. He was an engineer in the electronics and aerospace field, I believe. And he had a wonderful salary, made big money. But he was always broke. Never had enough money. And it's too bad it went this way, but this is what happened. He was dying of cancer. And they were going into and praying with him and all, but it didn't seem to be any help. And about the day or so before he died, why, Brother Prince was in the room with him, and he called for Brother Prince to come. And when he came in, why, he said, "Get that old man out of here." And Brother Prince said, "What do you mean, old man?" He said, "He's standing at the foot of the bed." And he said, "What does he look like?" He said, "He's an old man with ragged, tattered clothes on. And he's standing at the foot of my bed." And Brother Prince immediately knew the problem. And so he prayed and commanded the old man to go and bound him and broke the curse of poverty off of this household. The boy died the next day, but when he did, the boy said, "He's going out the door." And he left. It broke the curse. Well, his wife, Brother Prince's adopted daughter, got a job as a nurse, making half the salary her husband made, but had more money. Had more money on her salary than they had on his salary, because she now paid tithes on what she had. It met the needs, and it went farther. The little went farther than the much. We need to remember that. It does. Because God is faithful. He is faithful. And he says if we're faithful, he will be faithful. Well, the Lord's calling us to be intercessors. Calling us to be faithful. He's calling us to be overcomers. And to study to show ourselves approved unto him. For those that are making notes, I'm not going to read. We want to stop here in a few minutes. But in Ezekiel chapter 9, you will find where God is calling the intercessor. He's calling the men and women and boys and girls, verse 4 and verse 5 of Ezekiel 9, to be intercessors. He's sending the man clothed in linen with the writer's ink horn through the church to mark in their foreheads those who sigh and cry for the abominations that's in the household of faith. And he's marking them. Now, that brings up another tradition. I've always been taught, be careful that you don't take the mark of the beast. Well, that's a traditional error, because I don't have to worry about taking the mark of the beast. What I need to worry about is that I have the mark of God of the intercessors, of the man with the writer's ink horn, that he has come through and marked my forehead. So if I have that mark, the mark of the beast is immaterial to those that are marked with God's mark. It has no power or authority. And it's immaterial as to what happens at that time. if we're marked with God's mark of intercession. So we need to understand that we need to learn to be intercessors. We need to desire to be intercessors. We need to study to show ourselves approved to be intercessors for the household of faith, so that we will have God's mark. And then we have no fear of the mark of the beast. And I'm not sure that there will ever be a literal mark of the beast. I know we talk about a chip that they put under your arm and in your forehead. I'm not sure that that is a mark of the beast. Might be. Maybe not. Might be. But the important thing is that we have God's mark. I believe, basically, that the mark of the beast really is the control of Satan over, what does it say? In my forehead, the control of Satan over my mind. And how are they controlling our minds? They're controlling it today with the New Age movement. They're controlling it with this New Age theories of how to be, how to sell, and how to promote yourself, and how to be better present yourself. All the New Age areas of that, that's fine, maybe fine to a point, but it becomes a cult. In areas that they are controlling our minds, that's a mark of Satan. In my mind, if I let it control me. They're controlling our labor through the unions and tell us what we can do and can't do, and government controls. They're controlling the labor of my hands, the mark of the beast in my hands. Now that is my theory. And there may be, and all the other may be true too, but we've got to think about that side of it also. That Satan has more than one avenue to work on us. And we've got to be wiser than the serpent and as harmless as the dove. But the only way we can come to that is through the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it gives us the right to become the overcomers of the book of Revelation. And there are 8 promises in the book of Revelation to the overcomer. There are 8 of them. To him that overcometh. The Lord says he'll do this and he'll do that. But in chapter 21, and I think it's verse 7 of Revelations, is the grandest and finest and finale of all things. He says that to him that overcometh will become my son and my daughter and will sit down with me in my throne. Can you know, that is beyond my ability to even comprehend or even almost think about. To sit down with the creator of the universe, to be called his son and his daughter. He who created all things. We can't even fathom the creation. They're finding the creation is far beyond what they ever thought. And God is in the creating business, and I think it's still going on, and I think it will go on throughout eternity. And I believe that in the days to come, throughout eternity, that you and I will have the privilege of understanding and visiting God's creation and giving glory to him throughout eternity. For he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Jesus is his name. Amen. Amen.
All of our old-timers know that it is the practice to move in deliverance on what we preach. What's been preached today, I've made a few notes, listed down a few demons, a few curses. We're going to set some people free if you're willing.
Hallelujah.
It's in your hands. It's not in my hands. It wasn't in Glenn's hands to get you free today. Our job is to tell you. My job is to call the demons off. Your job is to believe. And as you believe, God will move. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind Satan power over this place. In the name of Jesus, I loose the demons from this people. In Jesus' name, I bind the power of Satan to harass and to send reinforcements into this place. I seal us off here in the name of the Lord Jesus. I close every opening to Satan in Jesus' name or any of his demonic forces, that they'll not come to aid or give support to any demon here. And I release them from every person here within the sound of my voice, that they may be set free. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you and we thank you. I speak to those religious demons in the name of Jesus. I tell you in the name of Jesus, loose this people and come out. All the religious spirits, in Jesus' name, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. That's the worst kind. One of the very worst kind is a religious spirit. We're not religious. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Religious spirits, traditions, all those traditions that we walk under. I break the power of traditions and I call them off of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command them to loose you and come out. come out in Jesus' name. The mind-binding spirits. The mind-binding spirits that will not allow you to receive, to hear, and to act upon what we call in Jesus' name. I bind those spirits and release them from you, and I command them to go. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come on out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. The mind-binding spirits in Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and come out. I come against unbelief, the spirit of unbelief. I break your power over this people, and I loose you from them. I cast you out in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Spirits of unbelief, unbelief, spirit of unbelief, come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Spirit of broken commitments that causes us to break our commitments unto God. I cast out those spirits that destroy our commitment unto God. The destroyer himself, I come against the destroyer, whether his name be Abaddon or Apollyon or Abaddon or however you want to call that. He is a destroyer. He has to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the destroyer, I call out the destroyer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That wildfire. Wildfire, we cast out any wildfire that they spoke of in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of suicide. Suicide. I break the power of that spirit over anyone here and everyone in Jesus' name. I command it to leave. Suicide. That spirit of suicide. You can't stay. You can't stay. You have no authority here. I take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I want to break some curses. By the power of the Most High God, I break the curse and I call them out. Each curse needs to be called out. I break a curse of illness. I break a curse of illness over everyone here. Just general illness. People that get ill very easily. I break that curse over you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I call that spirit of illness out. The spirit of illness. Come out. Come out. Come on out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. You have no more authority here. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. In Jesus' name, let them go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break the curse of eating blood in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I call that spirit out that came in when a person had eaten blood in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let them go. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, curse of eating fat. Curse of eating fat. You were told in the word by the word not to eat fat. And I break the curse of eating fat in Jesus' name, and I call the spirit out that came in when you ate the fat. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. I break the curse of diabetes in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All that curse of diabetes in Jesus' name. Let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Diabetic curse, in Jesus' name, let them go. Blood pressure, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, all the blood problems. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call out those spirits that cause the blood problems in Jesus' name. High blood, low blood, you can't stay. You have no place. You have no place in this God's people and God's economy. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let him go. Let him go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Break curse of disobedience. Disobedience. In the name of Jesus, disobedience to authority, disobedience to the Word, disobedience to God. In the name of Jesus, all the disobedience in the name of Jesus and every spirit that came in under that curse. And while you were disobeying the Lord, I cast them out in Jesus' name. I command them to go. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Curse of disobedience. I break the curse of serving idols, all types of idols. You might think you have no idols. You pretty much explained it. Anything we place above the Lord Jesus Christ becomes an idol in our life. And I break any curse, every curse of idols in your life that you've placed ahead of Jesus, and I destroy the power of the idol in Jesus' name, and I loose you from that idol, from that power, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command it to go. Go in Jesus' name. Be free from it. Be free from all of the idols in Jesus' name. The idols of money, the idols of wife or husband, the idol of children, the idol of home, any idol that we've placed ahead of our God, I release you from the bondage of that idol in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That idol of sports, in Jesus' name, loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, watching sports, participating in sports, come out in Jesus' name. Football, baseball, basketball, hockey, any of the sports, tennis, golf. It has become a god in your life, or that takes first place or a place ahead of the Lord in your life. That god of sports, the god of hunting. I cast out the god of hunting in Jesus' name. All types of hunting. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go in Jesus' name. God of hunting. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That light esteem of parents. Not giving honor to mother and father. In the name of Jesus, and I command that spirit that came in when you broke this rule of God to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, loose them, light esteem of parents, curse of leading the blind to wonder. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break a curse of incest over every person in the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call that spirit of incest out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Loose them and come out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of adultery. Adultery. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of adultery. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Curse of fornication. Fornication in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. You have no place in God's people. Come out. I take authority over the spirits of fornication. And I cast out fornication. I cast out the spirits of adultery in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the spirits of incest I cast out in Jesus' name. Spirits of bestiality, I command you to loose them and come out, bestiality in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go, the Lord rebuke you, come out in Jesus' name, you have no place here, the Lord rebuke you. Come on, work with me, people, take a deep breath, blow them out, get free of all these spirits, in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and then exhale them out. And get them moving in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirit of abortion brought the curse that came upon any person. If you've had any part, I don't care what it was, if you've advised someone to have an abortion, any part that you've played in it, you've become under the curse, and I break the power of that curse of abortion over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I call that spirit off of you. I call the spirit out in Jesus' name. I cast it out. I cast it away from you in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I loose them and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, spirit of murder. Murder has to go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuked you. That spirit of murder. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of false teaching. Curse of receiving false teaching. Come out. In the name of Jesus, I cast that spirit, the spirit of false teaching out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. A curse of forsaking God and just turning away when you should be listening and walking in His Word. Forsaking and turning away from the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. That spirit that drives you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let her go. That spirit of not obeying the Word. Just not obeying the Word. You know the Word, but you disobey it. You will not obey it. Come out. That spirit behind it. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The deceiver has to go. I have no place here. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes That spirit of the deceiver, in the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Spirit of a broken vow, the curse of the broken vow. They came in with the broken vow. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The curse of not believing the word. Curse that came in for not believing the word. When you heard the word, you did not believe it. I break the power of that spirit over you, and I cast that spirit out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Curse of sinning against God. Just sinning against God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of that spirit that caused you to sin against God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, and I cast it out. I cast it out in the name of the Lord Jesus. A curse of robbing God. I break the power of that curse over you in the name of Jesus. A curse of robbing God in Jesus' name for not paying your tithe, for holding back a portion of your tithe. I don't care how bad you need it. It was God's money. You rob God and you pay through the curse, and I break the power of that curse now in Jesus' name, and I free you from the power of the curse in Jesus' name. Receive what God is doing today, people. Receive what God is doing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Evil imaginations. Evil imaginations. Come out. Come out. Spirit of a thief. Thief. Come out. False witness. A false witness. I break the power of false witness. False witness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Self-exaltation. Self-exaltation. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. A charming spirit. The charmer, that charming spirit, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, unbelief, spirit of unbelief, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him go. Come on out. Unbelief, unbelief, move, move in Jesus' name. Spirit of necromancy, necromancy, speaking to the dead, talking to the dead. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Spirit of rebellion. Rebellion. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out. Rebellion. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no place in God's people. Come out. Come out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of crying. Crying. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. That stubborn spirit. Stubbornness. Stubbornness, the Lord rebuke you. Come out, move, move, move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no place here. You have no right in God's people. I break the power of those spirits over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord rebuke you. Hatred, spirit of hatred, provocation, wickedness, wrath, strife, oppression. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirits, I've called your name. You will obey. You will obey. You will bow to the Most High God. For it is written. It is written. It is written. You cannot stay. You cannot stay. You cannot stay. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Beings in heaven, beings in earth, and beings under the earth will bow. Bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Move. 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 In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Let them go. Move, move. Want to pray and clean up the church?
Huh?
Want to pray and clean the church up?
Yes,
please.
Yes. You want to
go? Yes, all right. Those that are real still receiving, go on. Keep working. We're going to bind the demons now in Jesus' name and have the angels cleanse our church and take out everything. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask that you send your angels to cleanse our place of worship. That you will remove every spirit, take them in chains, chains of the Word of God, the strong chains, that the Word that cannot be broken, bind them in the pit, Lord, that they'll not be able to return to us till the day of judgment shall they be loosed in Jesus' name. I bind the backlash and retaliation from Satan who would come against you for having been in deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you fill every vacancy now and every person with the Holy Spirit where the demons have left and moved from each person in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you. We thank you because you love us and you've ministered deliverance to us. And because we have received of you, Lord, we give you glory and honor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Let's stand and praise the Lord. You know, there's another tradition that I heard all my life was be careful, don't let the demons jump on you. Well, that will not happen. They say, watch the babies, the demons will jump on them. Well, that is not so. The only way the demons will bother you is if you make fun and say there's nothing to all this. And if you're that attitude here, you better repent quick because it's dangerous. But otherwise, the demons cannot bother you or your children or anybody else. We take authority over them and they have no rights. We're going to praise the Lord here now and thank the Lord for what he's done for us and what he is yet to do. And then, Father, we thank you for the food. Bless it to us. That's ready for us. Make it health to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.